Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to an all-new episode of the Metal Injection Livecast. Fred Hurst is making a TV show based on his life. I wonder who will be cast to play the Livecast gang when they interview him. My suggestions: Philip Seymour Hoffman for Sid, Vin Diesel for Darren, Rachel McAdams for Noah, and the Grizzly Bear for Rob. And now, here they are.
I thought it was going to be in popcorn and talk about it. It's so good.
Can somebody else open the show and not Rob?
What happens if a grizzly bear eats popcorn? Is that bad for a grizzly bear?
Chocolate makes you die.
Diarrhea.
Rob, have that piece that you dropped on the table. The popcorn is the table.
Do you know how filthy,
I am the table.
Do you know how filthy this table is?
It's mostly Rob Phil. And we know he likes eating his own Phil.
That's true. So. Rob's himself.
Thank you, really? Chocolate croissant.
Take your hand off my podcast.
Thank you. Welcome to another edition of the Metal Injection Livecast.
Get your hand off my penis!
Thank you. We're going to have Paulo from Trivium. I was about to say Trivium from Paulo. That's not how it goes.
From Sao Paulo?
Paulo Gregoletto from Trivium, the bassist of Trivium, Sid. He's going to be calling into the show in just a little bit.
You know how I like criticizing the names of these things, so wouldn't it make more sense if he was Greg Pauletto?
You can ask him. His parents named him. His last name is. He can't choose his last name.
He's got the word Greg in his last name. That's a more common first name, so he should.
Maybe he doesn't want to be common. He wants to stand out. He's in a band. You got
himself.
When you're in a band, you want to stand out more.
Shouldn't his name be Paulo Trivium?
Or maybe he wants to embrace his Italian heritage.
Is he Italian?
Yeah.
Is he from Italy?
I don't know.
He was born in the U.S. His grandmother is still in Italy.
I don't know.
How do you know his grandmother's still in Italy? How do you know that?
When he was touring in Italy, he tweeted photos of his nana side stage watching Trivium.
Nudes?
Not. She was on the side of the stage in public.
It's Italy. It's
and
warm.
And you get
there.
Instagram nudes. Sid,
why not?
Did you drink espresso? What's going on? You're extra inquisitive today.
I just ate 18 fistfuls of the chocolate popcorn you brought.
This is the last time I'm bringing popcorn to you.
Wait, you can't post nudes on Instagram?
No.
Well, it's a good thing I'm not on Instagram, then. I would have nothing to look at anyway. Fuck that.
That's how we're starting the show,
I'll stick with Tumblr.
Good to know. You're on Tumblr? What's your Tumblr?
I'm not on.
You just visit it.
Yeah.
Didn't you have a Tumblr at one point?
No,
we had a live journal, you're thinking.
When we were all in, like, little children, we had live journals. I never had a Tumblr.
didn't you have something about what Tamara was eating?
Oh, that wasn't a Tumblr, though. That was, like...
A WordPress?
Something.
Whatever, a blog.
Wait, what was your...
Remember, for, like, a month, I had that Tamara dinner options thing that I did for no reason?
Nope.
Yeah. When was this?
When me and Rob were still living together.
I'm a good friend, and I remember.
Yeah, thank you.
Because I used to visit and read and laugh. Not
well. Well, what was the concept?
This is what Tom Araya is having for dinner tonight.
And it's just dinner?
You just made stuff up?
I just come up with random.
I thought you did, like, research and found out what he was actually eating.
No.
Yeah, spies out in California or Arizona.
It could be a Twitter account, I think. I don't even think it needs to be a website. That could be a Twitter account.
This is the first entry, by the way.
A succulent Chinese meal.
It actually might have been. Yeah.
Tamaraya likes Latin food. He doesn't like a succulent Chinese meal.
Oh.
You never know.
I know, Tamaraya.
He's seen the world.
Oh, yes. We have a caller.
Uh-oh, is it Tamaraya telling us what he's having
there
for
he
dinner?
Is. I don't know.
Something spicy.
412, you're on the live cast. What's your name and where are you from?
My name is Amber, and I'm from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Amber.
Hi.
Hi, Amber.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Great. How about yourself?
Pretty good. I was listening to Dave talk about
Herman.
With Dave Herman?
You're funny.
Oh, we're funny. Thank you.
Please.
You're funny, too. Did you just start listening?
We're going to have Paulo on. Are you calling? Are you getting in the queue for Paulo to ask him a question?
Queue.
Is this a call for Paulo?
You are?
You are.
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, a little better, definitely.
All right, cool. Trivium's been one of my favorite bands from high school.
So for about 2 years? Oh, 2006 you graduated, sorry.
Yeah,
cool.
Excuse me.
Would you like to practice
ever actually being on like one of these like live castings? Pretty cool.
Well, that's fine. Let your freak flag fly. Yeah. You know, just relax. It's fine.
We're all friends here. We're all friends.
No pressure. Let it all hang out.
I actually just want to know
if who does?
Oh, if he likes to smoke
Paolo.
Up. Well, I can tell you.
That's a great question.
Because we're friends. We're actually friends, me and Paolo.
Yeah,
we've hung out.
Rob's met Paolo.
I have his phone number in my contact list. And so he does not smoke weed.
I've offered
him many times.
Are you going to stop listening to Trivium now?
Yeah. I know that Nick, the drummer, does in fact smoke weed. So if you want to smoke somebody from Trivium up, it would be the drummer.
Hey, you don't know that he wants to admit that on the air. Come on.
Oh no, he says. Well, you know what? We could find out when he calls in himself.
Okay,
Nick.
Paolo.
Yeah,
he's saying that Paolo can rat Nick out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Paolo can rat him out. All right, well, you could stay on hold, and then we'll get you back when
he'll be here in like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. You want me to stay on hold?
If you want, you can hang up if you'd like, or you can call back, however you feel like taking this news of us disconnecting from you momentarily.
Okay, cool. I'll just call you guys back in a little bit.
All right, great. Well, thanks for calling.
TTYL.
LOL.
Can I just say, didn't sound like an Amber to me.
Oh,
that was my first thought as well.
That in 06, when Amber graduated high school, she was not named Amber.
Yeah, like Ambrose or something.
Oh, come on.
Ambrose.
Oh,
she had a very deep voice.
Oh.
That doesn't mean anything.
Maybe it's from all the weed smoking.
No, you do not have it.
As someone said, didn't you last week say how people call you ma'am on the bus?
That's why it takes one to know one.
Yeah.
I'm actually a woman.
This is projected.
I'm actually Amber. That was it on the phone. I've been fucking with you this whole time.
His voice is like, I feel it's like in that region where it's, you know, it's too deep to be a woman, but it's too high to be a man.
Got a he-she voice. It's great.
He-she. We have another caller. 617, you're on the Metal Injection live cast.
Hi, it's Metal GF.
All right. Woo!
This I believe is a woman.
Z-Morning Zoo with you.
Is this the real Metal GF? Like our friend Metal GF?
Yeah, it's me.
Oh. What's going on?
Nothing. We just called to say hi, see how you guys were doing.
Oh, wonderful. We're doing great. We're recording a live podcast. This is Vince Neil's team for Metal Sucks. Girlfriend? Would that be accurate?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah, well, we're just here at our house hanging out.
Just listening to another edition of the podcast, seeing what's going on in the metal world on a Sunday night.
Yeah, I went to a show Friday, so I'm kind of very in touch right now.
Oh, yeah. What band did you see?
We saw Rivers of Nile and part of Abiotic.
And which band did you prefer?
Rivers of Nile was quite tolerable. And Abiotic was torture, and I had to leave.
Okay. What was torturous about Abiotic?
I just didn't like that sound at all. I don't know. It wasn't good for me.
But what did you like about Rivers of Nile?
Well, they just seemed nice, and I liked the singer. He seemed nice. He talked in between. And there was even I could tell it had like a tightness to it. It was very like organized sound.
This is like somebody's mom reviewing.
She started out going from like she was at a kegger.
Yeah.
Like woo, and then
in
the middle of the call she became like a 55-year-old Jewish mother.
Yeah.
I didn't like the Abiotic. I didn't like the sound. coming from the speakers. It was very discordant.
And it's so true.
I also like that your review of the band is, oh, they were all very nice.
They were all nice. They all had good, polite mannerisms.
You can tell they liked their mother.
They were a total mess.
They call home often.
In fact, the one guy pulled out a phone on the stage and called his mother on speakerphone.
Well, I hung out with them after, and they really were total menches, so maybe it's partly because of that.
They were menches! Not one of them had sciatica!
God forbid.
It's so abiotic, and Rivers of Nile walk into a bar. The bartender says, why do you have that dildo in your ass?
That's it. Basically,
anyway,
what we're saying is we want Metal GF to be here for an edition of Thrash It or Trash It.
Oh,
you and
great.
Vince Neilstein need to come on the show.
We would love to.
So,
Vince,
Thrash
here. Would you like to say hello?
Okay.
Sure.
Sup, dude.
It's so high. Whoa.
We were waiting, Garth, for Halloween, so your listeners know, and it was that party was the perfect place for that. Everyone was like, could not have been more into it.
Oh yeah, that's right. You guys went as Wayne and Garth for Halloween, which was a fantastic,
such a great costume.
Thank you, Noah. Hi, Noah.
Hello. What did you think of Rob's costume?
No.
I had never heard of that person, but he was great as always.
Rob was
stunning, absolutely stunning.
And were you guys there to witness when Rob walked through the screen door?
Yes, he was. He was the fourth person to do that. So I kept saying, let's leave it open. So we did leave it open. But then someone must have closed it, maybe Frank. And then Rob is lucky. I'm glad no one, broke their nose.
I didn't see Rob walk through a screen door, but I saw the Iron Sheik walk through the screen door.
But I walked through it. Bram walked through it. You broke it. But a lot of other people had been down that path before.
Well, just to explain what happened, it was the end of the night. It must have been 3:30 in the morning. And I said my goodbyes. Everyone, all right, I'll see you guys later. I turn around, and all of a sudden, I'm like, whoa, and I fall over. And then halfway through walking into the screen door is when I realize, oh, I'm walking through the screen door.
You really destroyed that thing. I'm impressed. That was Iron Sheik capabilities.
Oh,
is there a cutout of your body?
I dented it in half in the middle.
You just keep doing things to make Frank like you more. Every day.
I'm so glad I work with
you.
Oh, speaking of Frank, we were talking about whether that portion of that interview was going to stay.
It did.
Yeah, that's
But hold on. Just to get back to this, Frank was not mad at all. He was like, oh, this happened. Don't worry. He was actually very reassuring. He was like, don't worry. It's okay.
No,
and I'm like,
it was not your fault. Afterwards. It happened to everyone. Honestly, he should just be like, I'm glad you're okay, which I'm sure he was.
Mm. Let's not push it.
Okay.
Cool. All right. Cool. Well, thanks for having me.
Thanks for calling. That was hilarious. You guys definitely.
Okay, we'll be on your show soon. We'd love a cameo.
Wonderful. And listen to the Metal Flux podcast. There you go. Vince Neilstein gets a free plug out of this.
Is he on it though?
Tomorrow morning.
Sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes they interview. Are you going to be on it tomorrow, Vince?
No, I won't be on it tomorrow. But I think we have. I think we have Tom Araya from Slayer tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Why can't we
oh
get
my God.
Like that?
You're right. We got to step it up.
We've been doing this for 5 years.
Yeah.
We have a lot more.
Come on, guys. Get it together.
Sorry, wow.
Vince has a lot of influence and charisma.
We have Terry King's nephew on next week.
Yeah.
Terry King.
His nephew's friend.
All you guys can get is an anonymous call from Metal GF.
Oh, worth it.
What is she shit talking about?
Yeah, get out of here, you two.
You can't even get members of Slayer on your podcast.
Okay. Well, we're moments away from.
I want to one her just for that. That's fucking disgusting. Short one.
Okay.
But yeah, Frank left that in of Adam D. making that Lamb of God joke.
That's great. That's good. I didn't think that would happen.
Well, it did.
Oh, it happened.
I didn't watch it yet, but I'm sure it's good.
You doing all right, Rob? What happened?
Rob dropped a popcorn, and Bruno better not eat it.
Yeah, dogs can have
chocolate.
I picked
it up. Chocolate.
It's dangerous. Don't kill the dog.
We're cool. All right.
Take chocolate peanut butter popcorn. Why don't you just
so good.
Just get an IV drip of lard into your vein.
No, it's just sugar covered in sugar.
That doesn't even sound appetizing.
You're wrong.
So good. Try it.
Even if I was, I said I'm determined to pig out today, like I wouldn't want to eat that. I don't know. It just sounds gross.
Well, how would you know if you didn't try it? What if you tried it?
You might be right, but I'm telling you my initial mental reaction to it. It's like when they have like bacon covered chocolate, like that to me.
Oh,
mixing,
that's awful.
Mixing
this is actually pretty good because the popcorn isn't salty. There's no saltiness.
Yeah, and I don't like overly sweetened stuff, and I expected it to be overly sweetened, but it's
a dark chocolate.
And it's a good texture.
I'll try it during the break. I don't want to be on the microphone.
Everyone else is doing it.
Well, I'll hold off. I really just don't want to get up, and I don't want the bag rustling. That's okay. It's fine.
Sid will
I'm going to wait.
It into your mouth.
I'm going to wait.
It was silent. You didn't hear any rustling of the
you
bag
didn't.
There.
Thank you, Sid. But
rustling of the bag, a very good band. I think they opened up that Rivers of Nile show. Right, Rob?
I wasn't there, so I don't know.
Where were you?
I was at the party.
We couldn't go to a show and then the party?
No, I didn't want to.
Succulent Chinese Meal wants to know if you can get the spider that bit Jeff Hanneman on the show.
That guy's hard to book. Very in demand.
That's not nice.
Got a lot of people to bite.
Gone too famous for the show.
It's a shame it wasn't a radioactive spider. Because then Jeff Hanneman would be a superhero right now. Instead of a corpse.
Scaling walls.
In the dirt. Well, actually, but it wasn't even the spider. It was the drinking, right?
Well, they say that the spider exacerbated his symptoms that he had from
the
drinking.
The thing is, he would have, like, the rate he was going.
He would have died anyway, but that accelerated it. They claim. I don't know. I still think, I think the spider should get credit for a kill.
Partial?
I think the spider should get
killed. No, cirrhosis is what would kill them.
Yeah, but the spider injected some spider shit into him.
It accelerated it, but.
All right. Yeah. So, if I push you in front of a bus. You know, the bus killed you, but I get credit.
Darren, stop having such horrible thoughts about Rob.
Jeez.
I said if. I'm not going to push him in front of a bus.
Yet. After the show.
Terrible. All right. Well, Trivium's Paolo Gregoletto just tweeted that he's calling in.
Okay.
So he's going to be calling in any second now.
I thought you had,
and
his number.
He's going
to
call
out. You should give the number out.
And if you want, I was right about to,
oh,
if you guys wouldn't
you
keep interrupting.
Him.
If you want to get on the line with Paolo, you can give us a call, 646-929-1357. Paolo, is that you?
Yes.
Yes!
Hear me?
Nailed it!
Hello.
You're just on, you're early, in fact.
I know.
Thank you for calling.
Are people usually early, or are they?
Usually they're, like, late. One time we had Seth Putnam, and he was napping after a meth binge, so he was like 45 minutes.
And then a month later he was dead, so you being prompt is actually a good thing for your chances.
I've been kind of nervous all day because of the time change, or I was like kind of checking different sites and all on TV just to make sure like I wasn't off and like late by an hour or something.
Oh, that would have been embarrassing, but thankfully we would have still been on the air, so it would have been fine. Also, we would have been furiously tweeting at you if it happened. So, how's it going? You're on a bit of a break. You guys are about to start the second leg of your tour with Devil Driver. How is it having a month off in between tours?
Well, we had about 2 weeks off. It was definitely needed because. I mean, the entire tour, I guess, would have been about 11 weeks, and that would have been way, way too long. I think 5-6 weeks is, like, the breaking point for touring.
For one run at a time. I gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely was needed.
So what do you do when you're not on the road, other than Instagram photos of your cat?
Or food.
I mean, when I come home, I definitely try to take it easy and not, like, have such a set schedule. I think when you're on tour, you definitely kind of get into, I don't know, you definitely have to have a schedule throughout the day, but it's nice to just come home and relax. And if I can catch a couple of shows, I definitely try to while I'm at home. Like, I saw Nine Inch Nails a couple of days ago, and that was the greatest, one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. And I think you went to a Soulfly show as well, right?
Yeah, Soulfly as well.
So that's cool.
What's
that?
Ready? Sorry.
No, you finish your thought.
No, it's just it's nice to be able to get out to shows where I don't have to, like, have any responsibilities. I can just, if I want to drink and just have a good time, I don't have to worry about anything. I don't have to worry about playing a show. It's definitely a nice experience.
Yeah, I completely understand what you're talking about. Of course, you can call in and ask Paulo a question. The number to dial, 646-929-1357. I believe we have a call here. 541, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up, Paulo? It's Marty.
What's going on?
Not much. You guys are coming to Portland next week, so I was, I just want to say I love the new album.
Thank you.
So, crap, I totally lost the question I was going to ask. Oh, that's right. So I was wondering if there was any possible question of a live DVD ever coming out.
Live DVD?
Yeah. I asked the question on the website a while back, and you guys said possibly in the cycle, and that would be in wave cycle.
Yeah, I definitely think at some point we will do a DVD. I mean, we definitely did the Chapman DVD on the last album, but for a full-fledged DVD, we definitely have to get on that. I'm thinking maybe towards the end of this album cycle will definitely be the time when I think we're ready to actually do one.
Yeah, and you guys always actually include a lot of great video content. Like, you have that documentary you're slowly putting out for Vengeance Falls. Mm-hmm. And you guys, what I enjoy about the band is you take the video aspect of it very seriously.
Yeah. I think that's something we've learned over, I mean, pretty much through every album, is how much, aside from the music, how much the content, like video, photography, all that stuff really matters to the band and to just how you're viewed. I think, capturing all these things is just so important, just to have, kind of just for our sake, but also just to show fans just inside of our world and, what it's like to tour, what it's like to make the album. I definitely wish we had more from some of the earlier albums, but kind of learned that lesson. And now going forward, we always make sure that we're really on top of it.
Right. And people always assume it's like a Motley Crue book backstage.
Yeah.
How many groupies are there backstage on average?
At least 10 for everyone. It's all true. Everything in the dirt's true. I remember reading that book right when I first joined Trivium. I think we all took turns reading it. We're like, oh man, this is gonna be great. This is how it is. And then you kind of learn like different times. So
yeah, you learn that. Oh wait, no, it's a jab. all right. Well, give us a call, 646-929-1357. If you want to ask Paulo a question, we have Russell in Texas on the line. Russell, you there?
Yeah. Yo, Paulo, what's going on?
Not much, man. How are you?
Good. I actually just bought my ticket to see you guys in Dallas. It's like December. And I was wondering if you don't mind telling me what kind of songs are you guys going to play off Vengeance Falls?
Well, for the last leg, and also I think probably for this one, we've been playing Stripe, which is the single, the official single, and also Brave the Storm, which was the first release. We've been practicing. We tried to do a couple sound checks at the end of the tour to get some of the other songs rotated in, but we're still still getting used to them, especially with the vocals. It's a lot trickier with some of the harmony parts, and we just want to make sure that it's really, really good before we start throwing in a lot of the other new ones. But those two for sure, and then from the older songs, we've been trying to mix it up a bit. We started playing Shogun for the first time, which has been awesome. That's probably the highlight of the entire set for me.
Cool. And I noticed you guys definitely upgraded your production with this headline tour. You got giant T's everywhere. Anyone get stabbed ever by those T's from your logo?
A fan actually gave me like a T once. Like it was this necklace, and I stabbed myself with that. So we can't really make – there's certain, like, you know, like the merchandise trinket stuff. Like, we can't really make certain things, because I don't think they would let us sell them in venues because they're kind of weapon-shaped. So
right.
That was definitely not something we thought of when we were designing the logo, is that it could be used as a weapon.
Yeah, and you guys have a lot of smoke on stage. Do you ever find yourself like, at a loss of breath just from all the smoke surrounding you? Does it ever get too intense?
It depends. Like we got these like you know like the low fog kind of like the I guess it's kind of like the dry ice type thing. But we got these other fog machines that do the same thing but without the dry ice. But the only thing is if it gets really hot in the venue, like if the lights are kind of low, it makes it all rise up. So sometimes you can get overwhelmed, you know. And the guys they want to keep it really fogged out so they can see the light show, and the band's kind of secondary to their thing. So,
goddamn lighting directors, always thinking about themselves.
Do you guys have a person that does light for you specifically, or is it usually just?
Yeah, we try to have. For all the crew guys, try to keep it very as consistent as possible. Definitely over the last few tours, we've made it a point to have a specific light guy with us. Sometimes, like when you do on past like festival runs, when it's like during the day, you obviously get away with not having a light guy. But definitely on headlining tours, it's important. It really helps when someone knows the cues. Definitely, it's like a music video. You know, when everything's really synced up right, it just makes the songs impact even more. Same thing live.
Yeah, I mean, I like when someone is paying attention to what's going on with the lights rather than, like, a random...
Yeah, it kind of throws it off if it's, like, very random and kind of make it awkward. But our light guy in this tour is awesome. He actually, like, headbangs super hard. Like, just watching from the stage, you can see him, and he's, like, totally getting into it, like hardcore. Like, headbanging sometimes harder than even people in the crowd. So, I mean, I guess if people aren't going as crazy, I can just kind of watch him and kind of, like, get a good vibe from that.
So now that you guys are on the headlining run, do you prefer that to, like, doing a support run opening for another band, like having closing out the show, having your full setup, or do you like winning fans over, like winning other people's fans over?
I mean, it's definitely nice to have all, like, the production and be able to play a longer set, but I think that's something with us. We've always enjoyed having to go out and win people over. I mean, even from the beginning with some of the early tours we did, like when we, in 2005, when we were touring and we were with Children of Bodom and Amon Amarth was opening the show. I mean, that was probably one of the toughest tours in terms of winning people over because it was a very, very hostile crowd, like half the crowd for sure. And, you know, I think by doing tours like that, it definitely taught us a lot of how to, like, win over a crowd that might not be into you right away. And I think even now when we go out on tours, when we're supporting, we've always kept the things we've learned from those tours with us. And it's kind of fun to have to work for it a little bit more.
So what are the tricks to win them over? Do you flash some titties?
Rob needs some advice.
I mean, I think what we've learned now is you can't really tailor your set to a specific crowd. Like, maybe you would think, like, well, maybe this crowd's going to like these certain songs. You kind of have to, like, just go out there and do your thing. And I think maybe that's what we've learned over the years is just kind of be yourselves. You know, not everyone is going to get what you do, but if you go out there and you're kind of comfortable with what you guys are doing, if you're playing good, if you sound good, you know, a lot of people might get into it. So that's kind of what we've learned.
And Sid had a question. He wanted to know why you haven't changed your name to something more presentable. Sid, go on.
Well, not presentable. You've got Greg in your last name. Why not make that your first name? Just swap.
Greg Paletto? Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was
his. I guess if, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger can make that name work for being a movie star, I guess it's pretty acceptable, I would think. It's not too hard. I think more people at Starbucks have trouble spelling my name than people saying it. That seems there to be the biggest issue.
Which part of the country has the hardest time pronouncing your name?
I think.
It's okay to say that Southern people are dumb.
But he's from Florida.
I'm talking like,
you
know,
I've just always been used to
Arkansas.
People saying my name like different ways. So I never even thought about it.
What's your favorite mispronunciation?
Most people say like Paulo, but it should be Paolo. But you have to say it kind of with like the Latin flair, you know, to really say it right.
See?
Paolo? Did I say it right?
Paolo.
Yeah. Like Paolo.
Paolo.
P-O-W.
Yeah.
O-W. Paolo.
Well, good. I learned something today then. I've been mispronouncing your name for years. I'm sorry.
Oh, and one thing I mentioned. Well, it's good that we know how to properly pronounce your name. We mentioned when you played Italy that your grandmother, was it your grandmother that was side stage?
Yes.
Now,
I
did
said,
she?
I think it was Gods of Metal. That was the festival.
So did you invite her there, or she was like, look, if I'm coming to the show, I want to see my grandson from the side. I want to be right up there.
She doesn't want to be mixing in with the savages in the audience. Come on.
She doesn't want to be in the pit.
Elderly woman.
Well, it was my parents actually were flying over to go stay with my family there, and they kind of timed it out to go through Milan while we were playing that festival. And so my aunt, uncle, grandmother, and my cousin all came to that show. So it worked out perfectly, and I guess where they sat her, like, people in the crowd could see, and they were taking pictures, and it was just really funny how that people saw that, like, and kind of became sort of a viral picture for
the
week show. Yeah, it was great.
Was that the first time she saw you playing live?
Actually, that was the second. She came to a show. We played a town in Italy that was closer to where they live. And so she got to see us there as well. So definitely thankful that she's been able to see me twice now.
What does she say about it?
Well, I have to translate through my father because she doesn't speak any English. But I think she enjoyed it. I'm not sure what she thought of all the people moshing, but I think she just enjoyed seeing her grandson playing.
All right. Let's get to some more callers. Amber, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
This is Amber in Pennsylvania. You're on the air with Paolo. Paolo.
Hey, Paolo. Oh, my God.
Hey,
what's up? I am so happy that I'm talking to you right now, first of all. I've been a fan since high school. You know that I follow you on Twitter. I just love you guys. I appreciate your talent and everything. It's real. It's not like BS or anything. And I wanted to tell you a funny story. You know that I when I first listened to you guys, like, I thought you guys were saying like completely different things until like I read your lyrics.
Yeah.
And I thought you guys were just like being really animated and stuff, and you were talking about like, I don't know, underwater, like, oceanic stuff. And I was like, oh, my God, this is a really cool band. They're, like, talking about, like, ocean, like, animated cool stuff, and they're not like anybody else.
Question?
And then I was,
there's got to be a question coming up sooner or later. Right?
Yeah, there is. I just,
okay.
I'm sorry. I don't mean
how
to
much
be
longer?
Up time or anything. Okay. All right. I guess my question would be, do you like interacting with fans?
He did until this phone
ended that.
Yeah, I definitely think it's something that's been important for us since day one. I guess it's easier now with things like Twitter and all that stuff.
Yeah, you're definitely an active member of Trivium, I feel.
Yeah, I try to stay on top of it as much as I can. Maybe it's even too much, but I think people appreciate it. Like to be able to answer people, and it definitely helps keep the awareness just with our band out there.
Amber, quick question. Did you smoke more in between calling us the last time and now?
Wait, say that again?
I'm going to take that as a yes. I'm going to take it as a yes. Thank you for your call, Amber.
That's a trivia question.
How do you, but you enjoy dealing with fans. Sometimes there has to be a fan where, while they could be good intention, and I'm not talking about Amber. Amber is fine.
Yeah.
I don't mean that. But, like, sometimes it's like, all right, you, like, the time limit is up, and you're done interacting with this fan. Do you find it difficult to be like, all right, I need to leave? Like, do you have like, escape routes, like, ideas? Like, oh, someone's calling me. Like, what's your go-to excuse if you want to?
I definitely sometimes – I think when bands are like, hey, I have to go do some press real quick, that's definitely can be a – I mean, it definitely is sometimes true, but sometimes you just got to go do something else. Or I think most fans are understanding if you tell them, like, hey, I got something to do. I'll try to come back after, or just come see us after the show.
Because right. Rob gets definitely, to that point after 1 second of a fan talk.
Oh, that's not true. That's not true. And I get
– sorry, I have to be somewhere –
yeah.
Hey, aren't you Rob? I gotta go.
I have an interview backstage. I have stuff to do. All right, now let's get to some more calls. Quick reminder: if you want to be on the air with Paolo, the number
Paolo. God, I spelled it out for you before.
Paolo.
Pow.
It's like someone's giving you a punch in the nuts. Paolo.
Thank you.
646-929-1357. Seth in Las Vegas.
Hey, Paolo. How you doing, bro?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm extremely tired, but I'm trucking in there.
Why are you tired? What are you up to?
I just wanted to ask you, like, as a musician, what are your feelings between playing the venues and tours here in the U.S. versus the festivals and arenas that you guys play in Europe?
I guess depending on the venues in the States, I mean, there's some really incredible venues here in the States. There's just some really kind of maybe ones that can be updated a little bit. But you will
are
find...
Are you shitting America?
Huh?
It sounds like you're shitting on America. No, I'm kidding.
No.
But you're... You
I mean, you definitely find the same thing in Europe. Or even in South America, I think South America probably gets more of like a bad rap of like, or bad rep of like, you know, all the venues are really bad and stuff. But I mean, when we went down there, it was kind of the same thing. You know, some of the venues were a little bit nicer, some were definitely older. But anywhere you go, it's kind of like that.
Right.
You try to bring the best gear you can with you, I guess.
You got to bring the rock.
Yeah.
Not the rock.
Like, sometimes you just have to expect that, you know, say a venue, just the gear is not the best or you're just having technical issues, you have to kind of just go with it, you know. People in the crowd don't really care if you're, you know, can't hear one thing in your in-ear, you know, they just have a good time. So you have to kind of keep that in mind. Can't freak out.
All right, let's take...
Yeah, right, Rob?
Yeah, the popcorn. It's stuck in my throat.
That's why you shouldn't eat while you're doing an interview.
I'm trying... Oh, right. All right, Steve in Pennsylvania.
Hello.
You're on the air with Paolo.
Okay. Mr. Paolo, why did you switch from playing bass with picking to finger?
Why did I switch? When I started playing bass in the beginning, I had learned the finger technique. When I joined Trivium, some of the songs, especially on Ascendancy, had a lot of triplets, and I definitely wasn't able to do that yet. But as we toured for the album, we played the songs every night, I wanted to kind of switch back to playing with my fingers, and I just practiced, and then I eventually went back to it. So that's why that was the only album where I used to pick.
There you go.
It is.
Very specific question.
Yeah, but a good one.
Yeah.
It was.
At least it wasn't, do you prefer touring in the U.S. or Europe? Which, I mean, on average, you probably answer like 7 times a week, I'm sure.
Yeah, how many times do you think you ask that?
That question, U.S. versus Europe? Definitely a pretty good amount.
What is your least favorite question to be asked? Like that, that you're just like, other than the one I just asked you.
I think ones where like you could probably find the answers pretty easily if you kind of just research the band a little bit. Sometimes like going like when you have to like go back and tell like the entire beginnings of the band. But I guess it depends. If it's an interview where it's like you're going to reach a whole new audience of people. But for the most part, I think if it's someone that's kind of kept up with the band, you should kind of have an idea, I guess, of the story.
You're basically saying, at the very least, check Trivium's Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
Wikipedia.
So, like, someone like Rob should know that stuff already, right?
Probably a couple times at least.
I know their history.
Let's hear it. Let's fact check.
Rob has been there like
and
yeah.
And Paolo will tell us if you've got it or not. It'll be a little game show we have right now.
We'll ask him Trivium trivia.
Go ahead.
Well, Trivium formed like 2002-ish?
I think it might have been 99. But that was even before.
Wrong century, Rob.
Well, look. I know the last decade. Yeah, see, there's part of the story he doesn't know.
So last decade question.
Okay.
What is the fourth song on the last Trivium release?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, come on. I don't know track listing.
Name every member.
I can't even remember.
That they've ever had. I don't know. They're early members before they're the current incarnation.
All right, what's the current incarnation name?
Matt Heafy. Corey Blau. Nick Augusto and Paolo Gregoletto.
Do you know the names of all their girlfriends?
No. That's not on Wikipedia, though, to be fair.
Yet.
This isn't about me, damn it!
What? Since when?
Here's one. What well-known video game did Trivium contribute a song to?
Oh, some NFL game, right? Like some football? Madden?
No.
There's a couple games.
Oh, okay. Is that right? I'll give him a bling.
You know, there was one on Madden, but there was it was on The Sims, and Matt had to re-record the Like to the Fies vocals in Simlish. It's all in Sim. It's hilarious.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Well, what I was going for was God of War 3.
Oh, God of War. Mm-hmm. But
I didn't know there were other ones.
I think the Sim thing was on... It's got to be on YouTube somewhere. Or we should re-release it if it's not. It's pretty ridiculous.
Chocolate Croissant in the chat asks, didn't Corey go out with a porn star before? Can you confirm or deny?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Does
he never dated a porn star?
Which porn star it was? Does he have more details?
I don't know. I mean, if they're just being general, like it was a like blonde hair, big tits. I don't know.
Wasn't Ron.
Might
Jones.
Have been a porn star. Might not have been, but you know,
John Doe.
Who knows what Corey gets up to there?
I know Jasmine St. Clair is a fan of the band, and. Has she ever offered her services to any of the members of the band?
No.
I meant her
services. Services.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, she hasn't.
Probably for the best. All right. Well, thank you very much for taking some time to hang out with us on the air.
Yeah, thank you.
Putting up with us. We want to play a track off Vengeance Falls right now. What is your favorite track? What should we play?
I think one that I've been seeing a lot of people talk about, Incineration, Broken World, also features bass solo. So I'm going to throw that one on.
Oh, who plays the bass solo? No, I'm just kidding.
That would be me.
Cool. Well, thanks again. And Trivium's going to be back out on the road with Devil Driver. When does that kick in again? I should know this.
Well, we're leaving tomorrow for Seattle, so I think Tuesday is the first show.
Tuesday in Seattle.
And grandmas are welcome.
Yeah, November.
Grandma friendly zone.
November 5th at Showbox at the Market.
Grandmas of the band members.
All
anybody, just bring your grandma.
Do all nanas get in for free?
No. Yeah, I think if someone brought their grandma down, I would definitely have to let them in for free.
But you have to specifically say, I brought my nana.
And only if grandma has a Trivium tattoo. So.
There you go.
Rob, you should bring your babushka.
She did.
I'll bring her corpse.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, that's pretty metal. That's pretty metal.
All right. Paula, we're going to let you go. Thanks again, man.
All right, man. Take care.
You too.
Thank
you. I was
doing that, Rob.
I never know when they're going
to
end.
Rob, just don't bring your babushka to a Lamb of God show. Get messy.
She's already dead. It's all right.
Yeah.
All right, let's play Trivium. Here's Incineration, The Broken World.
You're listening to the Metal Injection Livecast. Did that song sound great? Oh, I'm sorry. I had my script wrong. I meant to say, that song didn't sound great. Here's another.
Hi, this is Dave Hill from Show Business. I had a great time on the Metal Injection Livecast, which is like a podcast in its own way, but it's live. It's right there in the name. Don't be a fucking cunt about it. Why do I have to explain this? I say cunt in the British way, like in the way that you would call another man a cunt. I'm not calling a woman a cunt. I wouldn't do that. Sean would.
Hey, Scott Ian. Instead of playing in front of 40,000 people who were killing time waiting to see someone else, you could have been listening to archived episodes of the Metal Injection Livecast at metalinjection.net. You schmuck.
Hello. This is your announcer, Chuck Blandington. You're listening to the podcast that could solve the Middle East crisis, cure cancer, and get health care for every American if they weren't so busy making dick and fart jokes. It's the Metal Injection Live Cast.
Hey, 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 here I go now. Here I go into new days. Do you bury me when I'm gone? Do you teach me while I'm here? Just as soon as I belong. Then it's time I disappear. So that you can hear more of the Metal Injection Live Cast.
Thank you, Chuck. Thank you, Metallica, for those terrible lyrics.
Here I go now.
Yeah, those lyrics aren't animated about marine life.
What?
Do you remember the Amber's phone call from like 15 fucking minutes ago?
I don't remember the marine life part.
But she said she misunderstood the lyrics.
Oh, yeah.
I thought they were animated about marine life, which I don't know what that means.
Maybe she was just listening to that Death Clock song, Mermaider, about the...
But when she says animated, does she mean like lively or like cartoons?
That's what I'm saying.
I didn't
she probably thought
she
was listening to Death
explain.
Clock. That's what I'm thinking.
So
did she just call us
2 weeks too late?
Maybe.
She was
very stoned.
It sounded like.
Yeah. Here's the Death Box song.
What do you eat? No, what is that? It looks good.
It's leftover Chinese food.
What is it, though?
General Tso chicken.
Oh.
Oh, thank you, Noah. That's a good idea.
I was when Paolo mentioned Amon Amarth, I was expecting a shovel drop to come up and
you know,
it happened.
Rob actually said I shouldn't.
Oh, that was so perfect.
I think he's right though, because like it confuses the
it
guests.
It throws off the guests when
I had it. I had my finger right on the Amon Amarth button, and I restrained.
Can we hear it now? Just we could fix it together in post.
Because sometimes I've played sounds and the guest, like, he's in the middle of a sentence, he's like, hi, what?
From now on, I think whenever we have a guest on the phone, we should put together some Shlomo drops and pretend it's a caller. Just to, like, throw a little what the fuck into the middle of the interview.
I like it.
Oh, yeah.
Stop making fun of me. That's what I like.
No, stop making Jewish jokes.
Stop making Jewish jokes, first of all.
First of oil.
Is that a Hebrew month?
Stop making Jewish jokes, first of all.
Yes, on the first of oil, don't make Jewish jokes. It's a very sacred month.
Hearing impaired.
I am hearing impaired in one ear.
First of all, I am hearing impaired in one ear.
How many firsts of all do we have? There can be only one.
First of all, I am hearing impaired. In one ear.
Yeah.
Did he ever tell us which ear it was?
No.
The mystery will live.
Maybe.
Forever.
I don't remember that.
Spanky.
In his right ear, I want to say.
I want to say his left ear. I feel like he said it was his left ear.
Oh, see, I feel like he said it was his right ear.
Well, we got to get him on the line.
I am hearing impaled in my. Oh, you may, yeah, I think it might be left ear. You're right. It was in the song. Juice, bloody juice.
Well,
Shlomo China, rest in peace.
What?
We don't know that.
Shlomo China.
A robot, man. Precision.
So. But yeah, we mentioned Metallica before. Earlier this week, Jason Newsted came out with a new music video, and I sent it to Darren because I was like, Darren, did this originally air on Headbangers Ball in 1991?
Yeah, the video looks very... well, it's just a performance video.
Just the way it's shot, like the angles, it just looks like an old Headbangers Ball video, and I feel like that's exactly what he was going for. And here, let me put the song on. Obviously, we can't watch the video.
And the song, I was telling Rob, it's like... If this song, it's not a terrible song or anything, but like if he was Jason Newsted, Napa Auto Parts employee with a side gig as a band member of a band, this would never have gotten made. But because he's Jason Newsted, ex Metallica, this is a big release. From scraps
and dreams out of focus. Trash it.
Yeah. Like,
this
gets
the
worse.
Build up. Yeah.
And he's singing too?
Yeah.
This is like constipated. This is like constipated Blue Oyster Cult.
Is the internet fucking up?
Yeah, that's the whole song.
That's it.
No, there's more to it. Unfortunately. No, but what kills me about this song is that he's. I guess I should just let it get to the part. It's called King of the Underdog. I'm like, this guy is worth like $170 million.
So you're saying that he's the king of the underdog?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the lyric. He goes, oh,
I
am the king.
I am the king.
There it comes.
Get to that
I think it's... Oh, after the breakdown.
This is pretty catchy.
That's all right. I mean, it's not as... Like I said,
but I feel like
terrible.
This is such a local bar riff.
Well, that's what
band.
He's doing nowadays, playing at local bars.
But he's loaded. Like, why does he have to do this?
How do you know he's loaded? Maybe Metallica.
Are you kidding me? He's loaded. Just the Black Album sells like 2,000 copies a week.
Yeah,
for like the last 10 years. Like it's just off of that album. His children and their children can live comfortably forever.
But he has to split that.
No, like just his percentage of it.
You don't understand, like, what he's splitting is...
Yeah, what his
more than
is.
Most
yeah.
people will make in 20 lifetimes.
How do you know what he's
even
making?
If it's 1%, which it's more than 1%.
They sell 2,000 copies a week.
And this is, like, 20 years after the fact. Like, imagine how much it sold.
Who gets Cliff Burton's cut?
His family?
Well, Cliff Burton wasn't on that.
I know, but I'm just saying of whatever from Gold.
His estate.
Yeah. Have you ever been to the Cliff Burton estate?
No. I was here it comes.
I am the king. I am the king of the underdogs. You know that's my name.
No, but
you're
not an
underdog.
Who?
You know who loves this? Eddie Trunk. Guaranteed. Loves this.
Eddie
of
Trunk
course.
Love this.
Eddie Trunk is the only one playing. Well,
Eddie Trunk
actually, that's
insists
not fair.
On coming to every Jason Newsted show and introducing him.
But
to
Eddie...
fly himself out. That's how much he believes in this product.
Before I bring out our next guest, I want to say Eddie Trunk has a show. I have a show on NEWFM every Thursday night. Get to the fucking
show. Hey, I have a book. Please pick up my book. It's
a line of jean shorts that I sell.
Jason Newsted is the only show where people want his introduction to go on as long as possible.
I am the king. But it's just like that. It's look again. Nothing against Jason Newsted. He was actually very very nice when I
met
him.
Yes, I'm not even picking on him as a person.
But just this is more like this is not necessary. And to be fair though, what I feel
happens. He's a musician. What did musicians do?
No, like to be fair, it's music. Like he's just like look, I'm starting this band, and it was like very like. It was just him doing, like, a Facebook page. He would post videos. Right. And then it just got so much publicity because it was, oh, former Metallica bassist, new band.
Yeah.
So he was feeling
that,
pressured into it?
No, not that. I'm saying that because of all the publicity, he actually got legitimate management out of it. He got, like, touring. It was a very almost organic way of him getting all this. And now I feel because he got all this stuff that he initially was not – like, he wasn't intending it to be, like, this polished, marketed thing.
Right.
Now it's, like, overbearing almost. It's like, oh, just come on.
Yeah, I agree
but
with
you.
But
he'll never be happy.
No, I don't think – I think he's very happy right now. He's doing whatever he wants, and he's, like, in a tour bus. You know, he's, like, touring the world. He did, like, a festival tour this summer. Hanging with Mike Mushnick.
There was a good idea in the chat here that we should A and B that with the I am the table.
I am the king.
Yeah, put that on again. Let's see if we can work this out.
Oh my god.
Oh.
Is it before that?
I am the king. I am the table. I am the king. I am the table. I am the king. I am the
king. I am the king. I think we need to stop yours though.
Okay, hold on.
Ready?
I am the king. I am the table. I am the king. I am the view. I am the king.
I am the table.
I think I believe James. I'm sorry.
Who's more?
He's a little bit more authoritative.
He has more conviction.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, but that's what gets me is that I feel like he shouldn't. It's almost like if Oprah came out and said she was king of the underdog.
Well,
like,
if you're an underdog, you wouldn't call yourself the king of anything.
Yeah, I guess. I don't even, that's a good point. It just in and of itself, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But then when you apply it to Jason Newsted sitting on his palatial estate, his 100-acre mansion, and saying, I'm the king of the underdog, it's like insulting, you know?
I don't think he made off with that much money. I feel like...
You're totally off. Just accept that you're wrong.
He is loaded.
And also the last 10 years, he had what has he been doing? Has he
his money?
He's a millionaire.
Well, let's just think of it this way. All right, he was started. First of all,
and all those tours.
Yeah, just off touring. How much you make money off tour? Like he got a fourth of the.
Okay, when was the last time he toured with Metallica?
But when they toured,
and also if you ever watched him with Metallica, he always wore Metallica shirts. He never had to pay for clothing. He got that shit free. You know how much money he saved?
So he probably sold a lot of Metallica memorabilia on eBay.
I'm sure.
I don't think it. I mean, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't even, like he doesn't live a lavish life. Like to live comfortably and like you know he owns his house, so he doesn't have to pay for that. I'm sure. It's so, like how much do you really need to live off a year?
He's
a couple of like at most a couple of hundred thousand.
He was in Metallica for like almost 20 years. He was from 87
to...
And the most lucrative 20 years that you could have been in the Metallica.
Like 2002, 15 years he was in Metallica. I mean, you telling me he didn't make over $100 million during that time?
Yeah, like...
$100 million?
They had five albums.
Not $50 million. Definitely like at least $25 million. That's way low.
But how do you know how much of the cut he gets from the album?
They didn't steal from the album, just from performing rights, like just through... through RIAA, like, laws.
Yeah, even
but
if he got jail.
He Metallica, like, corp.
No, he has a performance credit. He gets the performance royalty. Anytime a song that he performs is played, he gets a set amount of money. Like, it's just...
There's got to be a website where you can look up how much he's worth.
Yeah, someone in the chat already did it. It's $40 million on CelebrityNetwork.com.
There you go.
Yeah. But, to me, that's kind of like an exaggerated... It's always an exaggerated number, I feel.
But how much are you worth on there? Let's see.
How much is metal injection? How much is metal injection?
I don't know if this site is legit, but it says $0 million. See?
No, it says...
The internet is not always right.
Well, like, on the... Like, it was... For this one, like... James Hetfield is worth, like, a couple $100 million. Just in comparison.
Yeah. But he's also been in Metallica twice as long.
And he has... And he has a songwriting.
And he has spent all that money on those skin treatments. And he still has millions left.
He's spent a lot on drugs, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, he is definitely worth millions.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe you shouldn't have said no when he asked you out that time. It's serious. this guy's a deadbeat.
I don't date men for their money, Sid.
But he's in a band.
You don't fall in love with men for their money.
And he's
date
not a...
them for their money for a little while. Why not? Have some fun.
And he's not a bassist anymore. Now he's a guitarist, so you might have some interest. Hetfield is listed as $175 million.
If you marry Jason Newsted, you would be the queen of the underdog.
You'd be the queen. You are the queen. You are the queen of the underdog.
No.
You are the queen. You are the queen.
I like balls.
You want the queen of the underdog?
I just want the meat.
This just sounds like bad Motorhead.
Yeah, that's what I... It's totally like bad Motorhead. Here's another...
It's hard without a man.
Here's another...
I don't... Where is that? That was...
That was in Jason Newsted's song. He layers in Noah drops. Here is a total Motorhead ripoff song. It's called Heroic Dose by Newsted.
Are there any other notes besides one bar chord?
It's just that one bar chord.
Barcode.
Barcode. Barcode.
Minus this.
There we go. That's it.
Oh, all right. I hear it.
Definitely a bass player playing
guitar. Time to play the game. It's all about the game.
Yeah,
how you play it. And then, this is like a minute into the song, it's still building up. The same riff.
That's like the simplest writ, like...
Yeah.
Like when we used to book shows at the Temple and we'd have metal bands once in a while, that's like what they...
That's what I'm saying.
Like,
these guys sound like a local bar band.
Yeah.
And just because he's Jason Newsted, he gets to...
It's
like kind of cool.
You're in your high school chemistry class and somebody sitting next to you gives you a flyer.
The thing, the one thing I will say, like, we're giving him all the shit. It's not like he's saying it is anything that it isn't.
Yeah.
It's just him he's up there having fun, and it's like, oh.
I bet if you could, you would.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm trying to get at. It's like, I don't like, hate on him for it, but just.
Well, it doesn't,
you're jealous.
What's the point?
Yeah, like, I
the point is, his wife was probably like, why are you always
he's not
at
married.
Home? Oh.
I don't think.
His housekeeper was like, why are you always here? Can never.
Because he's a king! He is the table.
Get out of the house once in a while. Jesus Christ, get some color on your skin.
If James Hetfield is the table, what's Jason Newsted? Like a hassock or like
an
ottoman?
A placemat?
A placemat, yeah.
A pillow.
So you have the placemat.
A placemat would be on top of James Hetfield, though.
I am the place.
A candelabra. What if he's one of those little plastic discs you put under the foot of the table to slide it?
Like one of those under James Hetfield.
Yeah.
He keeps James Hetfield from wobbling. What if he's the wheel? I am the wheel.
No,
I am the wheel.
Wheels are too important. Not the wheel. It's like a doorstop kind of thing.
Piece of parsley on the plate that nobody eats and they throw it out.
The folded piece of newspaper to put under the wobbly leg of the table.
Jason
the
garnish.
He is the
Jason
garnish.
Newspaper. Jason newspaper.
Jason newspaper stead.
I am the king.
Ooh.
Succulent Chinese meal says, I am the guitar stand.
He should put his guitar on the guitar stand and not play it. Does it sound like he's trying to sound like James Hetfield a little bit? I feel...
I am the king.
No, I think it's just Motorhead that he's channeling. The first song, though, I thought it was a little James.
I could hear that a little bit.
I am the king.
He doesn't do that. I edited that.
He probably did it. He edited it out.
Yeah, you can't do that.
You really, you don't want it to.
Well, to be fair, he would do backing vocals. So, like, again, maybe that's just like the vocal. Yeah, like the vocal sound that he just has in his head. When... I am the
table. See, that was also from his song. I don't know if you...
Oh, Jesus. Also, the fact that he called his EP metal and then his LP heavy metal music.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe it's like a joke. He just wants to see how much people would buy
into
it.
I don't think he jokes. He ain't got jokes.
I'm sure he jokes, but they're just not funny jokes.
But everyone laughs because it's Jason Newsted.
Because he's the king.
I just think all these guys, like when they get that much money, it's just there's no one around to tell them don't do this.
Yeah.
You know? Well, when you have that much money, you can't. Yeah, like you have nothing to lose. Really.
Right.
Yeah.
So what made Metallica really great is that they had a filter of like someone telling them if you record this. Your album's going to suck, and you want to make money, so don't put that in. And now they don't, because they don't. The money's not such an object to them, you know? So now it's like, we can make a fucking album with Lou Reed that's horrendous, and no one's really going to tell us not to do it, you know?
We don't have anyone on the live cast to tell us not to do things.
Yeah, but, I mean, we have pretty good self-filters.
Well, they probably think they do, too.
They don't, though. That's what I'm saying.
But there's no one to tell them that. It's just them.
Well, we used to have Shankletown to tell us that bits were going too long.
Who does Shankletown have to tell him?
I remember whenever we do a bit or something, like, is this still going on?
Whatever.
I don't care. I didn't stop doing it. Cause
listen, we need to get to the music break quicker so we could tweet about food.
Yeah, but also, though, like, you again, if you look at the type of comedy that he put out, it's like,
I know. Really, well, his Twitter feed, I say, is about 4 out of 10 when I looked at it.
He's a host of a very, very big MTV show.
What?
No, he's not. He's not the host,
not even,
first of
all, he's like a freelancer for Viacom.
He's a writer for a very little MTV show.
First of all.
Is he in the chat room right now?
No.
Aww.
He's celebrating his 30th birthday now.
He's 30?
Let's see some recent Shankletown tweets. You guys, I'm going to cue this up.
I mean, I looked at it once or twice, and
it's,
I feel like...
mostly
by the way, I feel like if Shankletown does listen to like the archive, he will be so flattered that we've spent like at least 3 minutes now talking about
3 minutes? No, about a minute. I feel like
it feels like 3 minutes.
Out of every 10, there's like 2 really funny ones and like 5. Okay, I get it.
You are very generous, Darren.
And then like there's like 4... Just what were you thinking when you wrote that?
It's just like rejected Jim Gaffigan jokes, basically.
I remember really laughing really hard at a couple of them once in a while. But, I mean, you know, I wouldn't hire him if I was producing Silent Library.
No, he does something else. He does the Daily Disruption.
What's that,
a big deal?
Mel?
That's just a YouTube channel.
Here's one. You know what November 1st means? Only 7.5 months until Flag Day. Like, why even send that tweet? Like, why?
Yeah,
why?
You're making me look bad here.
I'm cherry picking.
Find a good one. Find the best one that's there.
I haven't seen this many beards since Lilith Fair, hashtag World Series.
That's funny. That's funny.
Come on.
Not really,
no.
Lilith Fair and lots of beards. Come on. I think that's funny.
Is that a vagina joke?
I have to defend Shankle on that. That's a good one.
Well, that joke implies that he attended Lilith Fair or watched it.
Also true.
That's a little unrealistic.
So cool. I don't think I want to live in a world where the Jonas Brothers aren't playing music together, hashtag Slayer. What?
I don't get it.
Huh? What?
Yeah, no.
Just the ironic tweets, just kind of, they're very obvious to me.
Yeah, no, like I said, there's more misses than hits, but
Here's one that I think isn't that bad. Being ahead of my time gets really confusing during daylight savings.
Spinach artichoke hummus is like putting two barrels of money on top of one giant barrel of money. Food humor.
Or, but again, he's trying. Yeah. I think he's just trying to
then
work
he's,
out.
Sometimes
fit.
He's got ones that I'm like, all right, I agree, but it's not necessarily funny. Where you don't meet a lot of people that are huge Jeff Probst fans. So, yeah, I don't. Uh-huh. All right.
Statement of fact.
Yeah.
Hashtag statement of fact.
Yeah. Basically. I'm a grown man who still gets hungry at the sight of lasagna and Garfield cartoons. More food humor.
Well, I mean, let's look at it this way. Silent Library is not on the air anymore.
He's got a. He needs an outlet.
No, I just mean that's why, because that's what he wrote.
That's why the library was so silent.
Yeah, it started out called being called Library Full of Uproarious Laughter.
Then Shingletown showed up.
They had to change the name for season two when he got hired.
He's not the king. He's not the king of the young, the dog.
No,
Twitter feed.
With those
not.
Tweets, he might. He's a pretty big underdog. he might be the king.
So he's not even a king at being an underdog.
So wait, is it a good thing or a bad thing to be the king of the underdog?
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
I think, what is it? Yeah, like, is he proud? Like, what? What is he saying there?
I think it's one of those things that if you think about it too much, it ruins it. You're supposed to just accept. He's yelling something that sounds important. That's the key to it.
Fine. Mm-hmm. I will not question it.
Like Heroic Dose. That's the other song. What does that mean? Nothing. It means nothing.
Rob, when are you interviewing him?
I tried to get him on the live cast, but it didn't work out.
What happened? What was the issue?
Just you couldn't do it on a Sunday.
Anti-Semitism?
The thing about him is, like, he's really, I feel, the only member of Metallica that isn't a douche. You know?
Yeah.
But he's a knucklehead. He's not a douche, but he's still...
He's a nice guy. He comes off as a nice guy. I don't know him in person, real life. Saying his public persona seems
like
a lot cooler than
a bro.
Me. Yeah, I guess. I guess he could
I guess
say
it's better
that.
To be a bro than a douche.
Rob met him in person, right?
But he's not...
That's serious.
Yeah. He's not really self-important to me. Like, he's not like a... Yeah. He's not overly impressed with himself. Like, he knew Lars
Ulrich. Would you be if you were Jason?
You know what
well, he's making zillions of dollars.
Oh, now all of a sudden Noah's talking about how much money he's making.
Yeah, you had him living in a fucking rusty shack about 10 minutes ago.
In a cardboard box.
He was very down to earth when I met him, but it was kind of funny because they were talking about Black Sabbath, who just played live in the area. Jose was like, oh, yeah, you know, I just saw Black Sabbath. And he was like, oh, they got a who's drumming with them now? And they were like, oh, it's Tommy Clefettis, Ozzy's old drummer. And he goes like, oh, it must be tough stepping into a position like that. Like, oh, yeah, he does a great job. Yeah, but you know what I mean. Must be tough stepping into a position, like filling in for somebody. Oh.
I get what you're saying now.
Oh, because you stepped in for someone in a tough spot.
Uh-huh. Under a bus.
When
that is a pretty tough thing to step into.
Oh. But he was cool. He was very nice. He thanked me for my support.
Yeah, that's good.
And you were like, what support?
Huh? Well, I was holding him up at the time. He almost fell over. And he's like, oh, thank you for the support. He was leaning on me.
Oh. Does he have vertigo?
Yes. That's, he doesn't like to talk about it, but yes. Also, he's way shorter than I thought he'd be.
Really?
Oh, is that disappointing?
Well, I mean, everyone is shorter than me.
Is
usually
he
what
as
I
short
mean,
as
but...
I am?
How tall are you, Sid?
Yeah,
like 5'6", 5'7".
Yeah,
seven.
Maybe slightly taller, but yeah.
Really?
Not that tall.
Wow.
There's a Shingletown joke in the chat for Rob and one for Sid. You ready?
Shingletown's in the chat now?
No, about Shingletown.
Oh, okay.
Super Nintendo Trauma. Shingletown is the Jim Powers of Twitter. And Sid, Chocolate Croissant 95 said Shingletown is the Guy Fieri of Twitter.
Ouch. Ouch. That is rough. I don't know if I'd go that far.
And that's the last we should talk about.
At least Shingletown's tweets are spelled correctly. I don't know if I'd be able to pull that off. That's
true. Well, he probably reads them like 10 times before he like hits send.
Those are like the third drafts, fourth drafts we'll see. Oi. Oi.
I feel bad.
Now I'm just in, we shouldn't keep lingering, but I'm just imagining him constructing it and just sitting there and staring at it and going like.
Do you think that he thinks about like if Sid is going to read it, like how
he
Sid
never
react?
Replies? I used to give him like, it was like with, like how I used to reply to Frank on Twitter. Frank at least would reply once in a while. Shankletown never acknowledges.
Well, that's because he gets a lot of responses, so he may.
No,
have seen
I'm the only one every time. I'm the only one.
Well, that's what he wants you to think.
So he deletes all the
Wait,
other
what?
Ones? So it looks like there's only me? Come on, Shankletown. I'm reaching out to you, man. Reach your hand back. Give me a reach around, Shankletown.
What?
No, what?
let's see what else.
My tentacles are everywhere.
Oh!
Right, fucking A. Twitter... Grinder, they're everywhere. Any web app that ends in ER, my tentacles are somehow involved. I'll blow you for $10. There, see, that's my Grinder username.
Blow you for $10?
If I get enough replies, I'll be as rich as Jason Newsted.
Aziz Ansari, with his new special, was talking about Grinder.
Oh, really?
Yesterday, and he just. He says, this, like, he tried, he said, you know, someone should make a Grindr app for heterosexual people. And then I realized if they did that,
they did do that. We talked about it on the show, Tinder.
Oh, is that right? I didn't know.
Yeah,
I don't
Bob,
remember
when
that.
Bob was here, he was talking about it. He showed us a demo of it.
Oh, yeah. But the point he was trying to make is that women would be raped immediately.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Registered for the hetero Grindr.
So is Grindr just for, like, man-on-man action, or is it, like, girl-on-girl,
too?
Oh,
no, I'm looking to branch out. Nice.
No, I'm just curious.
Oh, well, you're more than curious. Let's be honest.
The way the cat will play.
Right? No.
With other cats?
Yeah, that's the joke.
It's a guy app.
No, I'm just wondering, because then, like, you could pose as a guy, as a girl and still... need another girl and then rape her. So there could be rape on
Grindr.
But
you could just
too.
Rape a girl without an app. You just go outside.
Or you
there's plenty
just
of girls.
That.
It's just, but like Craigslist, like girls
respond to Craigslist.
Now that
I'm saying that that's a thing
and
to
OK
do,
Cupid,
listeners.
Right?
Yeah. OK Cupid, I feel, is a little more formal with it. Like.
With rape?
Yes. No, because you have like a whole profile, whereas with this, it's just like a photo and a quick message. Or like with Craigslist, it's sometimes not even a photo.
Mm.
Well, Craigslist, you know, you're emailing back and forth. You decide who you meet. If they're not giving you a photo, you don't have to meet them.
Well, the same with the dating apps, just as well.
I guess.
You
I don't
have to meet them. It's not like your location is on display.
Alas, I was spoken for long before these apps became available to me. God knows what would happen.
Oh, my goodness.
You wouldn't use them.
I might have used Tinder.
You would have dabbled. You would have at least downloaded it.
Yeah.
Why is it called Tinder? That's a stupid name.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's see.
It's like, it's not like, you know, a wood or something?
Because that's how you make a spark and start a fire. And that's probably what they're gonna, what it is.
Yeah, actually.
The
eye in Tinder has a fire, a flame for the
Tinder,
dot.
Tinder, I hardly knew her.
Tinder.
I'm done. I'm going to go finish my succulent Chinese meal.
Ooh. A succulent Chinese meal.
What are you looking up?
Oh, and I was actually hanging out with Bob at Frank's party, and he was telling me of this new app, Grouper, where you go on group dates.
Oh.
So, you and two of your friends will like, he and two of his friends meet up with three girls.
Oh.
So it's like a less awkward date since you're all just hanging out. And he was saying how most of the time it's a bust. But because he's with his friends, all he does is make fun of the girls the entire time. And then it ends up being an entertaining time. And because girls, apparently, who are on there have such low self-esteem, they're into it.
It's a little mean-spirited.
It's a little mean-spirited. Well, that's how he gets the ladies in New York City. But Grouper. So, yeah, dating apps are huge now.
Maybe Metal Injection should branch out.
Yeah.
A metal dating app?
Yeah.
But why?
But there's only dudes on Metal Injection. That's already grinding.
Oh.
It already exists.
You'll wind up hooking somebody up with Nina.
I think she's of age now.
Get an angry letter or something.
She's probably not into metal anymore, though.
Of age.
No, she's in college. She's been for a few years.
You know an awful lot about this.
Well, she called us when she was in college.
What, is that right? I don't remember.
I think so.
Yeah, she called not too long ago.
Rest in peace, Nina.
She's alive.
How do you know?
She's
on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, good point. Capsburger said Carol is also on the site. She could hook up with them.
Oh,
yeah.
God. She needs it, though. Although, how dry must that well be?
Oh.
Ew.
Well, there's probably a lot of sweat running down.
Oh, God. I got like that sweat smell
when I said that.
Oh, yeah,
sorry, that was me.
Oh, Lord.
Trickling through her
butt. It ain't so bad. All you do is pick off the pussy scabs and let the pus run out.
Ew.
By the way, for new listeners, Carol was this very racist old woman that somehow found our show randomly.
Through blog
talk. She was a metalhead, though.
She liked Pantera.
And
do you think she would like Jason Newsted?
I'm
Newsted,
sure.
Probably.
Jason Newsted.
Good one.
She'd let him in her dry well.
Wait, how do you pronounce his last name?
Newsted.
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 If he fucked Carol, he'd be the king of the underbelly.
Oh! He is the king.
He is the king of the underflab. Undercarriage.
Maybe he does have a thing for like the heftier, well-rounded ladies.
Who are also old and racist and homophobic.
Mm.
And have kids that have sex with black guys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
She was so angry about that her daughter had sex with a black man.
Yeah.
Can't we all just get along?
No.
Not with Carol.
No.
A rectum injection introduced the word vegma as in deep vagina. I guess vaginal smegma.
Vag cheese.
I like that name, by the way. Vegma.
It sounds like it could be a band also.
Vegma.
Like
vegma?
A prog band.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds very proggy.
It's like the end of the Flintstones.
Vegma!
Aren't they opening for Periphery right now? Vegma? It's a co-headliner.
Right.
I think Periphery opens up for Vegma.
Oh!
I just want to get a reaction out of Noah, that's all.
Noah's a big Vegma fan, though, so she's not going to fight you on that one.
Yeah, they've been around for a while.
What are they, prog? They're prog? Are they very prog?
Yeah, but like so proggy that it just sounds like noise to regular people.
White noise.
So it's like tech death.
Yeah. No, we have a clip of Vegma right here.
That's Falconer.
Oh, I'm sorry. I hit the wrong thing. Here it is.
Why are you coming?
The bass on this is so large.
Such a good little song.
Because that ain't cool. To do, let me smell your dick. Why you coming home?
This is a real song, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, clap.
Morning. Clap.
Can I smell your dick?
Don't play me like a fool. Cause it ain't you. What you need to do is let me smell you. A little soul clap. On the Quiet Storm 107.5.
That'd be awesome if you could, like, guest on the Quiet Storm.
Who, me? Or
yeah.
Some people in general?
No, you, if they could get you on there.
Is there still a choir? I don't know. That's from when I was a kid.
That's like
a
generic
cliche, yeah.
Radio show name.
Yeah.
There's always at least one.
Yeah, I don't know if it still is, though.
Look, I'm sure there is.
There definitely. Quiet Storm is a late-night radio format featuring soulful slow jams.
Yeah.
Listen to The Quiet Storm with Lenny Green on WBLS 107.5.
I feel like every market with an urban station or like Urban AC, Adults Contemporary, that's like just a go-to name.
It's on at 7 p.m.
Like
weekdays.
The Saturday Night Dance Party.
Yeah.
Or the Mandatory Metallica. Or Get the Lead Out. There's just like radio stations.
Or the Rock Block.
It's very stereotypical, though. It's like, I feel like, you think they'd have like stereotypical commercials and all that, you know?
Yeah.
After this word from Mickey D's, we'll be right back with a little titfuck by Shat.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
On the Quiet Storm.
Brought to you by Straits Matzah.
Straits Matzah. The only matzah for your Seder.
We got Straits Matzah live reads.
The Quiet Storm.
Hello, friends. They got a Joe Franklin read got mixed up in his email by accident.
Just want to break into our programming. Manischewitz Wine, a good sponsor of our Quiet Storm right here on WBLS.
Wait, why is that for us?
Manischewitz.
It's wine.
Now, friends, I'd like to talk to you about Chaim the Tailor. You found it. You're found on Bedford Avenue in Williamsburg. Bring the kiddies. He could repair any stain or clean any stain on any talus that you bring in.
Now here's the new one from Brian McKnight.
In the neighborhood the other day, I saw a Moishe's Moving Company truck.
It's
like, they're kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
Oh, they are?
Yeah. That's like, I don't know if they're nationwide, but they're.
Really?
It's like a huge. That's
like a regional.
Big, yeah. You've never heard of Moishe's?
Why Moishe's?
Yeah.
That's the guy's name. What the fuck do you want?
You ever see the God trucks?
Yeah.
Guaranteed overnight delivery.
Giant. Oh, I haven't
pretty
seen
absurd.
Those.
Yeah.
Kasperger wants to know what Cousin Brucey and Quiet Storm's love child.
Oh, my God.
Hello, cousins. Hi. Listen to the Quiet Storm on
CBS FM, baby.
It's like he's possessed in the middle of the sentence.
He has to say it that way. He's a professional.
Yeah.
CBS FM. That's pretty good.
Thank you. It's because I'm within close proximity to him usually, so I've.
You need to take like spy style photos of him when he's not looking.
I should.
Post him.
Sometimes I see him on. I don't know if it's Mondays or Tuesdays, but next time I see him,
there's like so many different people that work with you that we talk about. You should be just snapping.
I can do one of those awkward like selfies with him over my shoulder.
Yeah.
That's what I'll
him,
do.
Chris Russo, Sway. Like,
you should get. Oh well, Sway's never there when I am because he's there in the morning.
I see Sway.
Yeah.
Does Sway?
No, well, then you take.
The cousin Bruce is the only one.
You should slip Sway a live read about like Schmata stores.
I could sneak into the Shade 45 studio and just do that.
Hey, yo, what's good, Sway? I got this library for the Schmata.
Slip a live cast demo under his.
I think I mentioned this on the show. Like I was in the bathroom the same time as Cousin Brucey one time. I had to like contain my laughter because obviously he
that's what you were containing.
You should get a.
Well,
stealth,
my dick was out, so I wasn't containing that. I was peeing.
Put your penis away on CBS FM. You should
did
get.
You,
good.
Sorry, did you say to him, "What's up, cousin?" While you're holding.
What up, cuz?
Cousin? Did no, cousin, he says cousin. That's his thing.
Did Cousin Brucey drop a Cousin Deucey?
Nice, very nice, very nice.
I'm glad I'm going back there and having some of those.
That was a good one, cousins.
It's Cousin Deucey on CBS FM.
We're going to follow that little plopper up with a big, big ripper here on CBS FM. That guy. Hot time, duty in the city. It's a loving spoonful. He's a weird guy. Okay. You should get a photo of him, a stealth pic of him, like, when he's stuffing his face, like with a bagel and cream cheese or something, he's got a big schmutz on
his
face.
He's a professional. He's never eating in the studio.
Catch
him
about the hairpiece.
Oh, I try to look really like it. It's a very good wig.
Well,
I don't think so.
It's a very good hairpiece.
He's got good people on there.
I mean, like, if you're, like, looking up close, it's not super obvious. Like, it's obvious that, like, oh, that can't be real. But you can't really see where it ends.
It could just be hair that he brushes from the back of his head over to the front.
Oh, the Jerry Only comb over.
It's definitely a piece.
Yeah.
All right, we have a caller.
What?
585, you're on the live cast.
Hey. How's it going?
What's up? How's it going?
Pretty good. You guys were talking about radio shows and stuff, and that reminded me. I'm in a band. We've been on this local show on one of the radio stations in Rochester, and there's a local DJ who's, you know, writes for the newspaper and reviews concerts and stuff, and he does all the band interviews, but he's kind of an old guy, and he stutters all the time, and our producer was on and asked him a question and did a total slow-mo stutter, and I was laughing so hard, I nearly fell out of my chair, and they, like, picked me up and tried to rush me out of the room because I thought I passed out, but I was just laughing so hard.
Is there, like, evidence of this online somewhere?
Yeah, is there a way to hear it?
Yeah.
I can try and find it for you guys and send you a link.
Oh, please do, yeah. We definitely want to hear his Shlomo laugh.
Okay.
You turned your sound off.
No, my sound is up. Still there?
Yeah. That was it.
Okay, cool. Thanks. Well, send a link in the chat, please.
Put him on hold.
I'm sure you
can. Well, what are these listening? By the way, the number to dial, 646-929-1357. I want to talk about Motorhead. Canceled another tour.
Uh-oh.
Basically, the last 4 months, there's been no touring because of Lemmy's health issues.
Sure didn't drop dead yet.
He's the next Lou Reed.
Oh,
he's the barstool.
Isn't he like 70-something?
He's older than Lou Reed, for sure.
He's like,
and he's lived even harder than Lou Reed has.
Oh, yeah, didn't Lou Reed do like, I guess
Lou Reed
stopped eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's doing all this like...
67, Lemmy is.
Really? All right, I was
wrong.
4 years
younger.
Okay, I apologize.
But he looks...
He looks ancient.
Yeah.
Looks like Cthulhu.
I told you guys, we interviewed him at the Golden Gods. And you didn't even see any of it because he was so hammered.
Isn't that better?
You couldn't even understand what he was saying.
Well, that's always how he's been when he was 30.
No, I don't know. Worse than usual. And
was he talking to the wrong direction? Like talking into a wall?
No, he was talking to me. But he was very, very drunk on whiskey. And then
one of his Cocoa Puffs was leaking.
There was
he thought you were Kurt Loder.
He had a fucking... there.
Oh, my God. I took the elevator down with that guy.
You look so legend. Different. I'm you're so much taller, Kurt. What is that beard? You look Middle Eastern. No, and what's funny, though, at the awards, you know, there was a smoking section in the VIP lounge. Mm-hmm. He had a table set up in the smoking section so he could sit there, smoke, and drink his whiskey. He had...
So everyone was just standing around him, and he had a table that he was sitting...
Yes! I am the table. He had a cup brought to him, filled to the brim with whiskey and a little bit of ice, mm-hmm. to the point where, when he was holding it, he had to, be very steady so it wouldn't fall out of the cup so he could sip out of it a little bit.
So, of course, all of it spilled everywhere because he can't be steady enough.
He made it all right, I guess. But he drinks a lot of whiskey, is what I'm saying. So Lemmy really needs to clean his life up.
Uh-huh. Maybe Jason Newsted should move in with him and, be his sober buddy.
Be the odd couple.
Yeah, if Newsted's got all this time to kill, there's something positive
stranger.
For metal.
I think James Hetfield should move in with him because they both have facial deformities.
Oh, God.
Oh. Well, Hetfields are less obvious.
Hetfield's face looks like a cheese grater. Maybe you could just rub his cheek on the Cocoa Puffs and, saw him off.
That is both the most disgusting and hilarious thing you probably have ever said on the show. Like, the combo, the mental image you just gave me, Sid. And just like James going, is it working? Is it working?
No, James.
Lemmy just, it's so painful for Lemmy.
Lemmy would not scream in pain. He's too macho.
He can't anyway. His vocals are shattered.
What are you doing with your face? Did you have acne when you were a boy?
Everything happens for a reason. That's why James's face got burnt up. So one day
James Hetfield probably had the worst acne as a kid. I mean, that has to be what that is, right?
I thought it was from when he got burned in that
I thought that, too. That's me and Darren had this conversation online. I was like, oh, no, that's his burns. He's like, no, if you look at photos from, before the burns,
yeah, when
still
he
has
was,
it.
To kill them all.
Yeah, like in the
kid. Okay.
This is what you talk online about. You're so judgmental.
Oh, please.
Oh, we
way worse shit than that.
Yeah.
That's tame.
What are you wearing?
Yeah.
You know where that goes.
You removed me Cocoa Puff.
The thing is, didn't... That sounds like the end of a video game level. You've removed one of my Cocoa Puffs. It's like a piece of the Triforce.
You've removed Rummy's Cocoa Puff, but our Cocoa Puff is in another castle.
Oh,
Jesus. You've got to let me too late. The Cocoa Puff has escaped.
No.
Also, I feel like a decade ago, like I saw like one of those VH1 shows.
Sorry.
I saw one of those VH1 shows. That Lemmy had it removed. He had the warts removed, so they had to have grown back.
Yeah. They just regenerate.
That's where he gets all his power from.
What if he just didn't like that he took it off and he didn't like it. He didn't like it off, so he got a fake one put on.
Like part of his identity.
Nudicles.
Are you crying? What the fuck?
Yes, you guys are making me laugh until I cry.
Yeah, see, in 2002 he had him removed.
Then what the fuck? Yeah, he went and got him back. They were sent to the Smithsonian.
It's just like when a woman gets breast reduction surgery. It's like after a while, he's like, my eyes are up here. Come on.
Yeah.
Stop staring. It's rude.
I can't help staring. The Cocoa Puff weighs me down. I'm not looking at your jubbly.
No, I meant that everyone was staring at his Cocoa Puffs instead of looking at him in the
eye. Well, how can he really tell like that difference?
Yeah. Do you think he even cares?
He can't tell if a person's standing in front of him. How can he tell what they're looking at?
Unless they have a drink.
What if
some Nazi memorabilia to give him?
What if like when the Cocoa Puff is gone, that's like he gets sobriety. Like that thing causes him to drink whiskey.
Huh.
He took it off.
So it's like the devil on his shoulder.
So it's like a tumor.
Yeah, like he became totally clean, and then his friends hated him. So he had to. They put the Cocoa Puff back on, so he would go.
It's like the Simpsons episode when they take the crayon out of Homer's nose, and all of a sudden he's smart. But then Lisa doesn't like it as much, so he puts it back in there to be the old Homer.
Everything has a Simpsons reference.
Yeah, it does at this point. Rest in peace, Miss Krabappel, by the way.
I was about to say that's a late era Simpsons reference.
Is it?
That's probably like a 10-year-old reference.
No, that's way more than 10 years ago. That episode? Are you kidding?
That's after season 10.
No, definitely. I was not watching anymore.
It might
10.
Be. Exactly. Actually, I don't know. Or maybe season 10.
I got it.
No.
Or so.
You guys,
definitely before
you're
that.
All wrong.
2001, season
what?
12.
Really?
Yep.
Winner! Don't you
I wasn't
dare.
Watching the show at that point, though. How the hell do I know that? Right?
Maybe you just saw the commercial. Like, just
hey there, Blimpy Boy, flying through the sky so fancy-free. Wasn't that the same episode?
I don't know.
With the crayon in his... That was that recent?
Yeah.
It's not that recent.
That's for me. I don't think I was watching anymore at that point.
12 years ago.
Yeah. I thought that was like mid-90s.
Maybe you saw it on reruns and they stuck one of those in with the old
Maybe.
Ones.
Maybe. Huh.
So I haven't been watching The Simpsons, but apparently was it that Miss Krabappel was married to Ned Flanders?
Yeah, that was a new development. There was like a online poll or something of if they should get married because they had like a dating game episode as a season finale.
I just wish that it would stop.
Mm. As I said, I think, was I talking to you, Rob, about this? Or someone about like, someone was like, maybe they'll finally stop now because, you know, Miss Krabappel. And I'm like, when someone who does a voice of the actual Simpsons dies,
yeah,
I think that's
they'll
when
stop.
They'll stop.
If they were having those contract negotiations, they were pushing to have, like, new voices.
Yeah, they can't do that. Mm. Especially now that, like, Seth MacFarlane does, like, every show. They just replace it with something by Seth MacFarlane. They're probably ready to do that anyway. At this point, it'd be a lot cheaper.
Yep.
Well, they actually cut the budget of The Simpsons. They agreed to the pay cut. It makes so much money for them. I don't think it's like...
I guess.
Anyway... We're wrapping things up. Noah's not going to be here next week.
Or the week after.
Or the week after. But the week after, we're going to have Glenn Benton calling in.
That's going to be fun.
From a band called Deicide. Deicide.
We
can
finally
Deicide?
Ask him when he's playing Nebraska.
Deicide. Oh.
It is Deicide. Although we can ask him what he prefers.
Yeah,
the word is Deicide.
I've been calling him Deicide.
But everyone seems to say Deicide, so
maybe
that's correct.
Yeah.
Deicide. Maybe it was always Deicide.
Well,
like, oh, I spelled it wrong once, and then...
Back in the 90s when, you know,
What?
So sad.
It's just a screen cap from tonight's Simpsons.
Oh.
The blackboard gag was just Bart once wrote, "We'll really miss you, Mrs. K." Aww.
Aww. That makes me so sad.
And Bart looks like he's crying.
I remember when I first heard of Deicide, I used to start, whenever I would write the word Deicide, I would start writing Deicide by accident.
As you should.
I can't Deicide what to do.
All righty.
So that's going to be a fun interview. You said he's like a real good guy, right?
Yeah, he was actually on the Metal Flix podcast not too long ago. Oh, yeah. And I listened to that. I was like, oh, he'd be great on our show.
He looks a little like Lemmy, by the way.
There was a scandal, wasn't there?
Yeah, but that's all settled now.
What's the scandal?
Oh, the band that was opening for them got thrown off the tour. Mm-hmm. And then they posted this, like, really...
tirade.
Just, like...
on Glenn Benton.
About, yeah, like, how he's, like, self-centered and blah, blah, blah. And, like, they were the real stars of the show.
Was it just nobodies, or was it something reputable?
Somewhere in between.
Okay. What's the band?
Broken Hope. They were a band... They were like a small death metal band in the 90s. Then they broke up. Nobody cared. They got back together. And now, like, they're getting a push. So...
it's because of what they said about Glenn Benton?
Well, that definitely got them a lot of publicity, I got to tell you. And what's funny, though, is then Glenn Benton went on the air, and, like, he gave his side of the story, and it sounded way more real. Like, they were like, these guys, they haven't been around at all, and they're coming in with all these demands. It's like, you got to pay your dues. And then he was saying how the band would post on Twitter or whatever, how, like, oh, another sold-out Broken Hope show. And it's like, it's a Deicide show. That's like, yeah. Deicide is the reason it's sold out, not Broken Hope. And just about, it's a bunch of stuff. You could check out both sides of the story on metalinjection.net. But,
bravo, Rob.
Thank you. Before the weekend was over, Broken Hope posted that they apologized and that they've reconciled with Glenn Benton. So it's all over now.
Very nice of him to forgive them.
Well, he said he doesn't care. Like, for him, it was like, oh, I don't care. Like, this is all bullshit to me. Like, I don't...
Well, he already kicked him off the tour. What the hell?
Yeah, he's like, I'm still getting my... What's funny, what's crazy to me, though, about it was one of the things that Broken Hope were like, oh, he's such a diva. He said no smoke machines. We couldn't have a smoke machine because he didn't want us to show up his stage show. And he's like, the reason I didn't want a smoke machine is just I can't, like, that... The
my
chemicals
trigger.
In the smoke machine, like,
he's been sober.
They affect his throat, and that he's sober. He doesn't want to be around smoke or alcohol or anything. The idea of a sober Glenn Benton is so scary to me.
Yeah.
Because at least when he would get angry before, he could just drink it off or something. Now,
well, maybe if he encounters that smoke, his face will become like James Hetfield.
Oh no!
And then maybe it triggers his. Inverted cross somehow.
And then he'll go around like trying to grate off Lemmy's cocoa
powder.
He could grate off Broken Hope's faces so they can't play shows anymore.
Yeah. Well, didn't like three people get stabbed at their show too?
Yeah. Oh, and that was another thing that like he was saying how Broken Hope tried to get ahead of the story because they were like, oh, three people were stabbed at our show. So all the headlines said, oh, three people stabbed at a Broken Hope show. And it's like, it was a Deicide show. It wasn't a Broken Hope show.
But do you really want that attached to your band's name?
Yeah, let's
well,
call on that sword.
The thing that Glenn Benton was criticizing him for was that it's fucked up that he was...
That he gave the press release.
Yeah, that they thought, oh, this is a great way to get press for ourselves. Whereas, like, you know, there's families that have to deal with, like, people... Like, he wasn't saying, like, oh, we should have gotten the credit for that.
So was Lamb of God opening on that show, or was Randy Bly just in the audience stabbing people?
Come on, Sid.
How does that work?
Come on. That's a reach.
He didn't stab them. He pushed them off the stage onto some knives.
You guys.
There was a bed of nails in the front row.
It was box cutters.
No, bed of nails was the opening act.
He pushed them onto bed of nails.
Oh, wait.
That's bed of roses.
Bed of roses.
Good. But he does say bed of nails in the song.
Oh, okay.
It's a power ballad. We should close the show with that.
Okay.
Kerry Russell is in the video. She's now on The Americans. She's to be Felicity. Oh, yeah.
That's a good show. Sid
the
put Felicity
turned
me onto that.
Show.
I never saw Felicity.
I still haven't seen the season finale for some reason.
What? The Americans?
Yeah.
Oh,
dude,
that whole show is great.
Come on.
Not a dull minute in that show.
Correct.
Yeah.
I loved it. I'm hoping it doesn't suffer a season two swoon like Homeland.
Homeland season three is really good. I liked it.
You're a harsh critic.
I'm iffy on it. It's got some good moments, but can we never see the daughter again? Please.
No, that's
please
interesting.
Really? It's a show about spies and terrorism.
Yeah, but
they're
all
daughter.
But
who's like,
it's
emo.
They're all connected to the story.
She's barely connected anymore. I don't know why the hell.
Because the mother now went to see Claire Danes to find her.
But that was a waste of time too. Like
they're trying to show how you know she was right about Brody being a terrorist, and so she's now bonding with the mother.
But I don't care about that.
All right, so they're not writing it for you, Sid.
They
should
be.
Just watch something else, and that's it. No, call it a day.
It's still better than Walking Dead.
Watch American Horror Story.
Oh, dear God. Coven. Never again.
Why? There's, like, little teenage girls in bras.
Or there's the internet where there's little teenage girls without bras.
Okay.
So you're saying that's a downgrade for you?
Yeah.
You're disgusting!
Yeah, Glenn sure. Benton wouldn't approve. He's a very wholesome Satanist.
All right, let's get out of here. Let's call this a show.
I'll miss you.
We'll miss you too, Noah.
Will you call in?
Yes. Okay. I won't call in next week, but I'll call in the following week.
Give us an on-the-road report. Noah's going to be hanging out at the Born of Osiris Periphery, or the Periphery Born of Osiris. Let's get it right.
Oh, my God.
Co-headlining run.
They're not co-headlining.
Oh, sorry. The Periphery.
With Vegma. Come on, we talked
about the Periphery headlining tour.
That's right.
Featuring Born of Osiris, Dead Letter Circus, and 12 Foot Ninja.
And Vegma.
And Vegma opening up on select dates.
And Shat.
And Noah will be out. What's the first show you're going to be at?
I'm going to be... the first one is the Cleveland, Ohio Metal Fest, which is not really a part of their...
Will you be seeing Mushroom Head when you're there?
Well, it is a part of their tour running since they're playing.
No, but it's like a part of like a whole festival. It's not their actual...
Yeah.
It's just blended in.
So if you see Noah, give her a shout.
She'll probably be standing next to the stage in the grandma spot.
Yes, and then... No, I'm going to be standing all over.
The Nana spot. Get it
and
right, soon.
And I'm going to be in Canada. We're going to Canada.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to be in Ottawa.
Across the border. Right.
Oh, where is that show going to Toronto?
I think so.
Should invite... what's his name? Groban. Just come out to the show, meet him in person.
Okay. Are you going to get a ticket for him or something? Or get him on the list?
Yeah, I'm going to ask Periphery if they get
the guy we talked to last week, wasn't he in Ottawa? From what was that band?
Gorguts?
Sure.
That was not last week. That was a few
weeks
ago.
Who did we talk to last week?
That guy that called in.
Oh, Rhodey from Protest
the
Hero.
Yeah, isn't he in Ottawa?
Oh, but I think they're on tour now too. So. But they're friends, those guys.
All right, so then maybe
they've toured together, actually.
Yeah, Jake's friends with him.
Touching.
This music is getting the best of me. All right, we're going to get out of here. Thank you for listening. And we'll be back for an all-dude edition of the livecast next week.
Abortion? Breastfeeding and FOX.
And rape. I shit my penis. All over my penis and face.
Cock in my mouth. Well, you have the taste of a black man.
I figured myself recently.
I already have a penis. Fighting the meat. I would bang all the dudes. Here, take my vagina.
Have you ever thought what I've been through?
Anus licking causes sepsis. P-E-N-I-S.
Wow, that was huge. I look like too much of a rapist. Hey! This is my butt! And my butt hair, right? But unable to shake the tenacious turd loose from its butt hair dwelling.
Come on me, Sean. Roosters have penises. Your butthole is tight. Sid, I need you. I like nipples.
Oh yeah!
Pew, pew, pew! No, 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 no! Really having a hard time understanding you.